Welcome to the Once Upon a Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Josh Kimmel, Dave Campbell, and Justin Bowerly.
Welcome to the show, Once Upon a Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I am joined with a full crew for the first time in it seems like months. What's going on, Justin Bowerly and Viking Dave? Glad to see everyone back together in harmony this holiday season.
I missed you guys. I didn't have to work until 8 o'clock, so you're welcome.
You're welcome. I called this guy, by the way. I called him about 2 hours ago. I was on my way to Publix. I'm like, hey, Dave, are you still driving home? He's like, no, I'm home. I'm like, In my head, I'm like, let's go. I'm like, are you going to be there for the show? He's like, I'll be there. So I'm glad. I was happy. I did my shopping with joy, happiness, and I knew I'd be back with talking about fantasy football with you guys. Before we get into everything, please, if you're an audio listener, go to our YouTube pages. We have two, OUSFF Pod. That's right. At FinStalk Sports Network. Go to our Twitters, X's, at OUSFF Pod, at FinStalk Sports Network, at Justin Bowerly, at Josh Kimmel, OUS, and at Viking Dave. Dave's watching us. Dave just told us he got a Black Friday deal, 40-inch TV for $99. What's up, Ronald McDonald? Still don't like your food, but love you that you're here.
I do. I love your food.
We know you do. You know, I've known Dave for so long. I know his breakfast orders everywhere he goes.
You think, you know, it haven't much changed much, though. You're right.
Isn't that crazy? That's how connected we are.
That's because we used to be on the phone in the mornings when I'm going through the drive-thru and you're working and I'm working. So,
just guess his Dunkin' Donut order because I know that one by heart. Can you guess that one's easy,
but I've changed it a little bit.
No, I want to see
if Justin. Are you a hot or cold?
We'll find out. Guess it.
Not hot. I'll give you that much.
Oh, wait. You live in Tampa. Never mind. I'm going to guess an iced caramel coffee with cream and sugar.
Oh, you're not far off.
That's my order, so minus the sugar part.
Frozen coffee. I like the frozen coffee.
Oh, frozen. Okay.
Two frosted sprinkles with sprinkles.
No sprinkles.
Oh, no sprinkles.
No sprinkles.
And sometimes if he's feeling froggy, some hash browns.
Now it's just one hash brown, one donut. That's my.
Oh, he's cut back. No protein. All the sugar. That's what we do here.
Yeah, get ready to go for work in the morning, you know.
So we are here with Starts and Sits of the Week. If you're new here, please like that, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We're here every single Wednesday night, 8 p.m. We're also here on Tuesdays at noon. And Fridays, we've been here once for Dynasty, but we'll be here this Friday. We actually just brought it up, so we have a good topic for you guys coming up. So make sure you watch that at noon. Don't roll your eyes. We do noon Friday. So
Did I do that out loud? Like, did you see me roll my ass?
You did. I heard something interesting on the news. I know we're not going to talk. Well, I heard something interesting on the way to Publix today. My wife drives my van now because her car's out of commission. So she turns it to like the hip hop top 40. Like, hey, pay attention. Taylor Swift's up next.
Taylor Swift.
Speaking of Taylor, did you know that she's going to be living with Travis for the next 2 months? Did you guys know that? Breaking news.
It's only good for fantasy teams. So this is fantasy playoff time. Travis Kelce might be going up again. He might be tied in one by the end of the season.
That's my point.
He's definitely not in points per game. Check your sheets.
It is. He is tied in one.
I checked this morning. And he's number two overall. So he's still doing pretty good.
All right, well, let's get into our starts and sits of the week. No more lollygagging. Get right to the point. Let's start with the quarterback position like we always do. This one is an interesting one. And to Dave's request, we have the players and who they're playing against. So we have Geno Smith at Dallas.
I like it.
Or Brock Purdy at Philadelphia. David, it's been a while. I'll give you the floor first. Who are you taking this week to win your matchup?
Purdy. He's been playing well. The Eagles secondary is very sus. As the kids would say, it's sus. Geno Smith, he's been up and down. The Cowboys defense is pretty freaking good. That's pretty much what it comes down to me. Purdy, I think, is our better player anyways. He's on a better team. And the Eagles secondary is not that great. So that's pretty simple for me, in my opinion.
Are you afraid that they might just run the ball with CMC and just – have a ball control game where they don't score a lot of points, or do you see this a high scoring game because both teams are so awesome?
I think it's going to be an awesome game to fun to watch. No, because one thing that this Eagles defense is good at is, you know, pretty good at stopping the run. So I know it doesn't matter. CMC is going to get the ball, but it could be a lot of dump offs. You know, you got Debo, you got all those things. I just don't trust Geno, really. I mean, you can start him if you have him in a super flex, but I take Purdy over Geno pretty much every day.
Justin?
I agree. I would go Purdy here. I don't trust Geno against good teams. So far, when he has played good teams, like, I don't know, Baltimore, he scored 2 points in that game. Cleveland, 14 points. He's not really – there's no – his ceiling's not very high. He gets you 12 to 14 points, which is great if – you were playing a wide receiver getting 14 points. Purdy's ceiling, he's consistently getting in the 20s, like high teens, low 20s, except for random games here and there. I think both are playing really good defenses, but between the two, I think Purdy has the better chance. CMC is really good in the open field, and all you got to do is dump the ball off to CMC to get him open. So you're going to get a lot of bullshit yardage off of dump offs.
Jeez, family friendly over here. Listen, I got to say one thing about Geno. Felix Felicis. Now, I know no one remembers this from the preseason. I tried telling y'all last season, Geno Smith was drinking that lucky potion from Harry Potter where everything went his way the entire season. That's what happened last year. This year, that's not happening. He's got the same amount of danger plays. He's got the same amount as interceptable passes. He's top 10 in danger plays and interceptable passes again, just like he was last year. It's just this year, things aren't working out. It's just not the same magic. He's still playing pretty decent, Geno Smith, but against Dallas, they're a ball hawking team. They like to, I mean, didn't that guy just set the record for most pick sixes in a season? Not gonna lie, didn't know that was a thing until I watched Good Morning Football this week. Not gonna lie.
They talked about it during the game. Did you not watch the game?
Some people,
Josh doesn't watch football. He watches his fantasy roster.
I watch football. Sometimes I turn it down. Sometimes I'm walking away. Dave, I have kids. I have things to do. I can't just sit there all day.
Oh, you're right. I don't have any kids at all. Good point.
Not on Sunday. I know Dave on Sunday.
This past Sunday, I did not. But sometimes I do.
I did.
And actually, we're supposed to have the kids.
Sometimes they have to go. I have to get them. I have shit to do, Dave. Sorry, babe.
I know. Bobby. I know.
But here's the thing. You're important. Here's the thing with Geno Smith. He's just up and down, like Justin said. Brock Purdy is the smash start here. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Dallas is a dominant defense. Philadelphia secondary, very sus. Cope. Hashtag.
Oh my God.
What are you talking? What does it even mean? What just happened?
Oh, you said yesterday's show.
Wait. You said cope?
What we're talking about.
Okay, no, I get. I know exactly what that means.
I have no idea what it means. First of all, I just say it's
super lame when people say that. It's so dumb.
Ronald McDonald told us to cope yesterday. That's why I said.
Oh, Ronald McDonald. Don't be one of those guys. Don't be one
I don't know what it means. What does it mean?
It means deal with it, basically. Like, accept it. Just
okay.
You're a loser, basically.
Okay.
Who's next? By the way, you're talking about Geno Smith and him being like all, you know, everything is not going his way, but I don't think anybody expected Geno Smith to be like top five again. Like, nobody drafted him there. He's doing exactly what you thought when you drafted him as a quarterback too. I think he's been exactly what you expected.
So if you watch any football game with the Seahawks, the color commentator were just like, gosh, about Geno's really turned it around. Geno's done this. Geno's done that. And it's like, and the Josh Dobbs before the S show on Monday night, everyone's like, Josh Dobbs is the next Geno. Guys, Geno had one good year, and then this is a very average year. It's just the way it is. Not everyone's going to stay on top like a Brock Purdy. I expected the downfall from Brock Purdy. Didn't happen. I expected it from Geno, and it did happen, unfortunately. But he's still getting the ball to the players. Like JSN, those guys are not relevant, but they're okay.
All right.
Let me ask you a question. Off topic. Tank Dell or JSN rest of their careers?
Oh, career?
Yeah. I mean,
man, that's tough. But
I mean, hold on. I want to preference this. Most people are going to say JSN because of where you drafted him in Dynasty. But people got to let that go. I remember Mahomes being a fourth round pick in most Dynasty leagues. We have to cope with the fact that Tank Dell's better.
First of all, I think Tank Dell is really good. But JSN's not bad. he's just also behind two really good players. So I'd say their value is close. But Tank Dell's balling out, so I don't know.
Tank Dell, you know who's going to throw him the ball for the next 10 years. Hopefully, yeah. 10 years.
You would hope.
You don't know who's going to throw Jason the ball next year or 2 years from now. So it's kind of tough to really make a decision on that one. I would go Tank Dell at this point.
Yeah,
Jason was drafted as the top wide receiver in this draft and isn't even top eight.
But see, I
have kids.
Which one was that? Was that Ella?
Yeah, of course.
She's a good kid. All right, next we got the receivers, or we going running backs?
Running backs.
We're going running backs. We have James Conner at Pittsburgh. A lot of ats this week. Or Zach Moss, new starter at Tennessee. Justin, I know that you're a big Colts guy. We all know that. Why are you picking Zach Moss?
Damn, why do you think I'm not going to pick James Conner?
Dude, this is so easy, too.
It is easy. It's flat out Zach Moss at this point. I mean, if you go back to when Jonathan Taylor wasn't around for weeks 2, 3, and 4, he was scoring 20 points a game. And even when Jonathan Taylor came back, 33.5 points a game, like that game. So against, do you know what team he scored 33.5 points against?
Titans.
Tennessee.
The Tennessee Titans. This is a no-brainer. He's looking good, even with Jonathan Taylor in there. Without him in there, it doesn't really matter. I'm starting Zach Moss with confidence. If I have Zach Moss, I'm still trying to get him in a league.
I'm trying to understand why we picked James Conner as the rival.
I don't know. Why did you?
I put four running backs. And you pick them. That's what we do on Wednesday mornings. I say, here are my four options.
I didn't even look at the options. I just saw y'all talking trash about Kelsey, and I had to prove Josh wrong. Then I went back to work.
I didn't want to go with the Singletary option against Denver, and I didn't really want to go with Breece.
Singletary versus Zach Moss is a lot closer.
I think that is actually a lot closer. Breece, that would probably be kind of close, too.
All right, here's what we're doing.
Zach Moss.
Here's the thing.
Lump them all together.
You're starting Breece. Like, you're most likely already starting Breece. This isn't the question. The question is Zach Moss. If these guys are on your bench, who are you starting?
You want to be honest? Zach Moss is auto start this week. Until Jonathan Taylor starts, he's auto start. So the real question would have been like Singletary versus Conner. If we're being honest, that's fair. Because Moss, he was so good before. I don't know where he came from because he's never been good in his life. And Buffalo. I expect him to. I don't know where he came from. Out of nowhere because he's never been good.
Right.
And then, like,
that offensive line has been killing it this year.
So, I mean, whoever, like, Jonathan Taylor has been great. Zach Moss has been great. I see no reason for that to change. I'm going Moss all day long.
Yep. Hey, Big E, we'll get to you in about 2 minutes. I do want to say something on this. I fear, and I know that Zach Moss is an instant start, auto start. This is an obvious one to me as well. But I fear, because we saw this happen with Jonathan Taylor, where the first drive, he'll get 7-9 carries. I've been on this. If you follow me on Twitter, you see me complain about it every week.
If you watch the Colts game with him, also, like, he just texts you, like, where's Jonathan Taylor? Why isn't he getting the ball?
He'll get 9 carries on the first drive, be awesome, and he'll get 1 carry the second drive, 1 carry the third drive, maybe 2 carries the third drive.
But no one else is touching the ball, really. So, I mean, he's getting all the work, and he scored a touchdown. Jonathan has been great.
He has been great. So, I fear
they're just streaky, I think.
Are they going to do that again? Are they going to let Zach Moss eat in the first drive, and then all of a sudden Gardner's going to throw? It was ridiculous that Gardner Minshew threw 20 passes. Meanwhile, Jonathan Taylor had, like, 6 carries. It was ridiculous at that point.
That's a little bit facetious, but.
No, it was true. It was true.
But by the end of the game, Jonathan Taylor was touching the ball a lot more.
He got his touches.
If they get behind against Tennessee, are we still? I mean, it's highly doubtful to get behind against Tennessee. But funny things happen. Connor revenge game doesn't matter. Maybe that's why you picked it. The dude hasn't scored double digit fantasy points since week 3. Let's be honest. He hasn't scored jack squiddly squat since he's been back. I think he hasn't didn't even 15 points combined in his last 3 games. He's been ultra bad. James Conner shouldn't be an option. Honestly, you shouldn't start James Conner at this point.
Unless you have no other options.
I have to start James Conner this week. It's my only starting running back. I'm playing a bye week player.
I love it.
There goes the fireworks.
All right. Big E's got two comments or questions. The first one, I traded Jonathan Taylor and Waddle for McCaffrey right before JT.
I freaking love that.
Congratulations.
That's a lot. One, it is a lot because Waddle's solid and JT has been really good. But it's worked out really. You got really lucky also. But obviously, CMC is a monster. So good deal.
And then the next one, should I trade Javonte Williams for Zach Moss?
No. That's.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Why not?
Because he's only going to be good for 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, what if Big E needs to get into the playoffs?
If you need to get into the playoffs, okay, I'm okay with it. Like, if you're, like, on the border, yes. But, I mean, in the playoffs, Moss is going to be no good to you, most likely.
It depends.
And Javonte hasn't been terrible. Like, he had a
couple really good games. But he hasn't been spectacular.
No, he hasn't
been spectacular.
He hasn't been, but he's still been, like, you can start him. He's still startable.
And I pay attention to this because I have Javonte on that same team where I have Taylor. And Samaje Perine's getting a little bit of extra
he's pissing
work.
Me the crap off lately. I'll yes. say that much.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying Zach Moss will be the only show in town.
Only it's thing not a I think.
It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee Moss. It's not a guarantee Jonathan Taylor comes back anyway.
I mean, I guess you're right.
It's not a guarantee.
I'm just saying if you don't need to make that trade, I would probably not. Even though I think Moss is the clear better player for the next 3 weeks. 3 to 4 weeks, maybe, whatever.
But if you have Jonathan Taylor, I would make this trade.
Well, I think I don't know. I don't know how many leagues he's in, but he did trade away Jonathan Taylor and Waddle.
Oh, wait. He just did trade it away. Jonathan Taylor. Wait, never mind. Yeah, if it's the same league, I mean, you already have McCaffrey, so you could do this. McCaffrey's two players. Anyway.
I think it comes down to how bad you need to win. If you really need to win, you do the trade. If you don't, you can wait because you're ready for the playoffs. Because, again, we play for the playoffs. And if in 4 weeks Moss is irrelevant again, and I'm not saying Javonte is a monster, but at least Javonte is going to help you in the playoffs when Moss will most likely be all but irrelevant, like he has been the last month while Taylor's been back. That's all.
But we did see Justin can back me up when Taylor came back from the injury. Zach Moss,
but that was like he was out for a month. He hadn't played. He hadn't practiced. This is different. It says he's not going to be out of shape. He's a finger, so he should still be able to like practice and all that stuff. I don't know why. I still don't know what I understand. I've seen quarterbacks play with a broken finger. Like, how can this guy not play with a broken finger? I don't get
there
that
had to be
at all.
Something that we're missing off of
Yeah, something either. Like, I don't know.
They were considering IR yesterday, crazy, but as of today, like, I guess IR is not even being considered. So this makes me think it's only going to be 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, like if he's
only
off 2 weeks,
it had to been something with his ligament or something. I don't know, but
or he almost like
they're also they're worried about, you know, ball security. You don't want him to fumble the ball and like that screws up confidence. So I mean, when you have a guy like Zach Moss, why risk more further damage and injury?
That's true. Moss the stud.
From Buffalo. All right. We have two other studs we're going to talk about, the wide receiver position. Hopefully this one's a little bit easier, or not easier, harder. We have Calvin Ridley versus Cincinnati or Terry McLaurin.
I spelled it right.
I don't want either player.
Versus Miami. Yeah, that's the right answer. I don't want any player, but you have to have one.
But
you don't
pick one.
Okay. Isn't this wild? I said this and nobody thought it was wild. Sam Howell's having a magnificent season, throwing for a bajillion yards, but there's not
and
one.
And McLaurin, has he even, you know what, now you say that, has he done anything?
But there's not one player on that team where you're like, yes, that's my top 15 receiver.
No, you know who's balling out though? Brian Robinson. That guy is balling if you have him in fantasy. Trust me, I have him in a league, and I'm so happy with him as like my RB3. He is killing it every week, and he's catching passes. That being said,
Brian Robinson is top 5 in scoring this year so far. So
it's so I didn't know he's that high. But
or in rushing, I should say.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Okay. Okay. So the highest person for the Washington Commanders that is a pass catcher is McLaurin at wide receiver 26. Wide receiver 26. He's averaging 11.8 points per game. Now Sam Howell is the quarterback 4. How is this possible?
Everybody, they're spreading the ball around a lot. He's dumping it off to Brian Robinson. McLaurin's getting a little bit. Samuel's getting a little bit. I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy. Dotson will have like a one random good game a month.
It's like the bizarro world of receivers over there. And yeah, I don't want to start.
Good point. I didn't thought about that.
I mean, I've been thinking about it. It's insane because I have McLaurin on a ton of leagues, dynasty leagues, and he's not doing anything. So I'm like, oh, maybe Dotson's out here. But nope. Oh, maybe Samuel. Nope.
Samuel's actually been pretty good for where you.
Yeah, but he's also had a lot of stinkers, and he's clearly not better than Terry McLaurin at wide receiver 26 right now.
They're also so that's streaky. Like, two of them can't be good at the one at one time. Like, you get one and a half, and that's it. And it you never know which one's gonna be the good one. That's the real problem.
And it's super frustrating. So I don't want to do McLaurin. And then you look at the other side, you have your boy Trevor Lawrence. I don't know where he's ranked because he's had a down year, but he's finally been balling out. I mean, he had a really good he's quarterback 15. And none of these guys, whether it be Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley, I mean, Evan Ingram's the guy, but other than that, these guys aren't even showing up on Christian Kirk's wide receiver 26.
How can he's 18? Kirk is
26. Oh, I'm standard. Yeah. I'm standard. I'm on standard.
Oh, yep, same. Dang, why does it switch back?
Why does it switch back to standard?
That's annoying. Yeah,
pros. Get it back. So
Calvin is 21.
21, and Christian Kirk's 23.
It's pretty good. Got two top 24 receivers. That's and Ingram's a top 5-6 tight end. That's great.
It's not bad. It's not bad. But still, you would expect at least like Trevor Lawrence to support a top 15 guy, like a better guy, but he's just not because one game is Ridley, one game is Kirk. You don't really have the dominance of a Tyreek Hill every single game. I mean, I don't know. So I guess
between these guys, I'm going to go Ridley. As much as I don't like him, he at least has, I feel like, a splash game every now and then, and he might have used that up last week. I don't know. But
he's had very good weeks with Tennessee and Houston, 31 points and 22 points.
Maybe he's coming on now. I don't know. He was irrelevant the entire first half because I know that because my friends are like, man, Ridley's dead, blah, blah, blah. I don't have Ridley or McLaurin in any league.
0 points in the first half.
Yeah, and people are like, man, and I'm like, dude, you can't trust Ridley. Then he catches a touchdown in the second half, and he has a good, you know, fantasy day, and that's all that matters. And that's why I would start him over McLaurin. Because he has a chance to put up a big game. I don't even know what McLaurin's best game is. I haven't heard him all year. That's so crazy to me.
Ridley is very like touchdown dependent too. He's only had one game where he's scored double digits without scoring a touchdown, and that was against Buffalo. He had a lot of targets and a lot of yards. But if he doesn't score a touchdown, he doesn't really get you points.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. He's got three touchdowns in the last two games, and that's why he's been balling out. Other than that, he's been totally irrelevant. So you take the super high, or you take the super so low. I'm going to see McLaurin real quick because McLaurin.
I mean, McLaurin, he at least gets you between 9 and 15 points, even without scoring touchdowns. So,
but with no upside.
Yeah, exactly. With no upside. So you're at most going to get 15, but with Ridley, you might get 30. You might also get 2.
Yeah.
So it's,
I'm taking Ridley.
Yeah.
Man, Trevor Lawrence is back, baby. He's balling lately. He's going to keep balling. I think it keeps rolling on Monday night.
I think it keeps rolling too.
I agree.
It's just Terry McLaurin is so.
He's been that way for the last 3 years. Like he has big years, but he has a few big games. I don't know. I feel like this is his worst year ever. Which is crazy because like you said, Howell's killing it.
He has 60 catches, which is. Last year he had 77, so he's going to break that. Last year he had 1,191 yards. This year he has 694. His yards per reception is down big time. It was 15.5 last season. It's 11.6 now, and he only has 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's having his worst career. He's averaging 12.3 fantasy points per game, which is the worst he's ever done in his life.
Yeah, that was right.
Yeah, and Howell is the top three guy, our top five guy. Makes no sense. Easy. Clean sleep, unfortunately, Calvin Ridley. Ugh. So we're doing something new. Well, actually, we'll go to the tight ends. Same game. Evan Ingram, Mr. Dropsky, drops his bajillion balls a game, but still produces. Or Sam Laporta, who's been a little bit quiet lately, but had a really good game on Thanksgiving at New Orleans versus Cincinnati again. If you're starting Ridley, are we starting Evan Ingram?
Yes. You can still start him. You can start both. I feel like this is a dumb decision because these are both auto starts. I feel like we should be talking about guys that are borderline, but if I have to choose one, I think I'm going to go with Ingram again. Yeah, offense is just good. I think he's got a better quarterback. I don't know. I really like Laporta this week too, though. If I'm being honest, the Saints aren't that good. The defense isn't that good. And Goff throws the crap out of the ball too. So there's no wrong answer, to be honest, but I'll take Ingram slightly. I feel like Ingram's more consistent with like 10, 12, 14 points, and then Porter might get you 3 or 4, but he also might get you like a 25-point explosion because he'll catch 2 touchdowns.
He's never had 25 points in his life.
You know what I mean? He has a chance to have a big game. Really? He hasn't had a 25-point game?
His best game was week 3 against Atlanta where he had 22.4.
Okay, well, 22. Good enough. But that being said, I'd still take Ingram slightly.
He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 single-digit fantasy points games in 11 career games. So almost half of his games are single-digit. Laporta is a – let me say this real quick because I truly believe this. And when I traded for him in that league with Dre, I already knew this, but I see the potential. He's living off his first couple weeks where he was explosive and we didn't see this coming. And ever since that, he's been mid AF. Look at his game log. It's not been special. Tight end 9, tight end 16. These are nothing. Tight end 15, 18. These are nothing. That's nothing special. He doesn't jump off the page. Whereas Ingram, I hate to say it because I was so against him, he's been up there every single week. Every week you can count on a top 6 performance. Every week, no matter what. Whereas Laporta, I'm telling you, he's living off of like these splash plays. Remember that one catch he had or that trick play they did? That's it. People remember that. It's in their head. It's baked in their head. And they're not seeing the production. It's wild to me. It's wild. Even I fell for it when I traded for him.
Traded for Laporta?
Yeah, remember? With Dre?
Oh, yeah. Wait, was that Dynasty?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a terrible trade. And I told you that wouldn't happen, too. Because you gave up Purdy.
I gave up Purdy.
Terrible trade.
It was terrible. What
Laporta is still a good dynasty asset, obviously, but you gave us a quarterback who's young for a tight end.
A guy I don't believe in. So I'm taking a shot on myself.
I don't know how you can't believe in him. I mean, I think he's proven that he's going to be around for a while, and I don't know how you can, like.
What's going to happen? What's going to happen when players start leaving, when he doesn't have the Debo, when he doesn't have the IU? I want to see what happens.
He's gonna have Debo. They're gonna sign one of those two guys. Him or Ayuk will be there. Christian McCaffrey.
I feel like CMC has a lot of these hidden yardage that we don't really see.
I also, you know what? You know why I want? I think Purdy will be fine and be relevant because I think Kyle Shanahan's a freaking genius and he'll find ways to do it. I've said it on Twitter. You can go find it. Purdy is the next Tom Brady. He's gonna win a couple of Super Bowls because that team is too good, that coaching staff is too good, and all he has to do is just be good enough, and that's what he is. And I think he's proven that he's pretty good. And yes, I do think a lot of those, you're right, are hidden yards, Debo making big plays, CMC making big plays. I get all that, George Kittle. But that's the thing, is they have weapons everywhere, and I think that they can draft another guy when some guy goes out and Shanahan scheme him up. I think he's that good of a coach. So I want that guy as quarterback.
So back on Evan Ingram versus Sam Laporta, Justin.
I was about to say, I was sitting here like looking at stats and stuff, and then I looked back over and you guys were talking about the 49ers. I was like,
clip that for the short.
Where did this come? Like, I'm so keep lost up, to what's keep going up on. So I was just like,
listen, Justin, we take paths, we go left, we go right, we do.
You never know where we're gonna go.
We do. So okay, so I was just looking. Laporta is, like Ridley, is very touchdown dependent when it comes to his fantasy points. You look at his big games, he scored a touchdown. You look at his little games, he drops a lot of balls. So but he's making up for it with touchdowns in other games. So like, he's getting a lot of targets, but he's not catching all of them. He's dropping a lot of them, but he's making up for them with touchdowns. Against New Orleans, he's going to have to score touchdowns, and that's going to have to be a shootout. Derek Carr is going to want to throw the ball a lot. They're going to have to stay in that game. They're going to have to throw a lot. At the same time, Ingram is just another solid. He hasn't scored a single touchdown this year, but he's still producing
that's
points.
That's crazy.
Wow. No touchdowns for Evan Ingram this year, but he's still tight in 7. Wow. Yeah, he could be top 3 if he, I don't know, got some freaking touchdowns, but he's not. Because of that, I'm going to go with Evan Ingram because he doesn't need touchdowns to still be an elite tight end. Laporta does. So sweep it across the board again. We took Evan Engram.
Evan Engram. So let's get to Hunter and his question. He has start two wide receivers, D. Smith, N. Collins, A. Cooper, G. Wilson. That's Devontae Smith, Nico Collins, Amari Cooper, Garrett Wilson.
Devontae Smith is auto.
Is Cooper still hurt?
I don't want Cooper, not without Watson. He's been trash every single week.
I'm probably going to start Nico Collins.
Gosh. He's been doing really good. I want to start Wilson, but God, the Jets are terrible. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he might be in trouble.
Okay. My Smith is an auto, so lock that in. Yeah. Everyone knows that. Nico, it comes down to Nico or Garrett Wilson. Comes down to, do you think Garrett Wilson will throw himself a touchdown pass? Legitimately. And I say no. So Nico Collins, I want the guy who's at least getting some kind of target share on a team with the best quarterback in the world right now. CJ Stroud is literally probably one of the best quarterbacks in the world, so I'm taking him, Nico Collins. And I wouldn't have said this about 4 weeks ago, but it depends on if Noah Brown plays. What the hell happened to him? He became Superman, scored a bajillion points, and then literally got hurt. Like, I didn't see the injury. I didn't hear about it. Just hurt. Did you guys see this?
No, but guys get hurt all the time and you don't see it.
No, what I mean is like no one gets 150 yards 2 weeks in a row then just I'm not.
Yeah, he's just all of a sudden out and
what the freak happened? We didn't see an injury.
Somebody hurt that week that he got all those yards too. I think Collins was out a couple weeks.
Nico was
there. Everybody put in their waiver claims for him and then he hasn't played since.
Yeah, well I've had him because I'm smart. But yeah, Nico D. Smith confirmed, done and done. All right, now we're doing something new. We have four players. We have a foursome, and we got to pick one.
Yeah, one flex position.
One flex position.
And for the record, Evan Engram or Sam Laporta, whichever one you don't put in your tight end, you could also just put him in your flex and run two tight ends.
I wouldn't do that with Laporta.
No.
No? Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
I mean, you can if you have, like, no other options. Like, there's one league I might
This is week 13. There's a lot of bias.
Yeah, but in general, I would suggest that. So, right. Anyway, so what are we doing?
Who do we got next? Who are the Jalen Warren, Chuba Hubbard. What happened to Miles Sanders? DeAndre Hopkins, Cortland Sutton.
Frick.
Not Hopkins.
Cross against Indianapolis.
It's Warren or Sutton, and I'm going with Warren. He's getting a lot of the work. He's scoring points. He's getting catches. Hubbard had a big game last week, but I don't really trust that. I don't trust that offense at all. And Sutton has actually been really, really good. It's between Warren and Sutton. I think those are the two easy options. I'm going to go with the running back because they're guaranteed touches. But I think it's between those two. You can go either way.
So Pittsburgh is playing Arizona. So that's Warren's matchup. Then we have
the only thing that concerns me about Jalen Warren is he was doing really good in Matt Canada's offense, but now Matt Canada's gone and he scores 6 points.
Yeah, that does suck.
And Najee Harris all of a sudden is back to being himself with 16 points. So it's like, are they going to lean back towards Najee and say, you're the offense? Like, you're the running back? Because, it 2 weeks ago, this is definitely, I would be starting Jalen Warren.
Can we talk about Deontay Johnson and not playing football?
What's wrong with Deontay? I heard some stuff going on, but I haven't heard.
He just stood there? Like, did everyone see
that? Oh, did he?
You didn't see, like, there was a run play. It was a run play, and he knew, obviously. So he, like, snapped the ball. He just stood there. He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
The running back fumbled, or someone fumbled.
Jalen Warren fumbled.
The defense picked it up, and, like, Deontay just
scooped it and started running for it, and Deontay was just like...
I love that. That makes me so happy. I don't know why. First of all, he's not the first receiver to not run a route on a run play. That's been going on since the history of receivers. And that's really funny. That he's just like, I'm good.
No, he was visibly angry. He was very, he wants out. He wants gone.
I love it. Trade him to Minnesota. That's what
I have a video.
I love Deontay Johnson.
Send that video in the chat so Dave can watch it.
I think Deontay Johnson is a really, really good player held down by terrible quarterback play. That's what I think he is.
I think so, too. I agree with that. Now, I'm not starting Chuba Hubbard against the Buccaneers at home in Tampa Bay. I'm not doing that because Buccaneers do shut down the run somewhat. So that one's not an option for me. Dave, watch that video right now as I go through.
I was going to put it up here, but I didn't want the NFL coming at us.
Nah, NFL would not like that. They'll shut us down real quick. And I
can't find waiting on us.
I can't. I don't know. They shot down that kid with the camera phone.
Yeah.
Jerks.
He didn't do anything. It's because he celebrated too. That's the thing. He like celebrated, oh. Like it was jumping up and down and stuff. That was some BS.
Oh, hold on.
Anyways.
On my TV since my TV.
Oh, okay.
Hold on. I gotta rewind it.
We're gonna watch Dave's nuts.
All right, here we go.
What are we doing?
Why is Deontay just chilling? Even when they picked it up, he just walked away. This is amazing. Oh my god, I love it. I love Deontay Johnson. That's amazing.
How do you love that?
Like,
you
I love that. That's the best.
What if he was on your team? What if he was a Viking?
Oh, you know what? I wouldn't even be that mad. I'd be like, you know what? I'm annoyed with this team too. So, I don't blame you, bro. That's what I would have said.
He's straight up looking at the play too. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
It was right there. He could have hopped on it if he wanted to.
We've seen like DK Metcalf run down Buda Baker like all the way across the field on a dead play.
Yeah.
But Deontay Johnson couldn't even like attempt to like start running the ball or running right towards the ball. Anyways.
Back to this. I'm going Cortland Sutton, by the way. That's where I'm going. He's playing Houston. Houston does give up a ton of passing yards. Houston does they're involved in very high scoring games. And I don't know if y'all noticed, Denver's the hottest team in the NFL. Russell Wilson is back, I guess. They've been looking electric. Jerry Jeudy's still a bum. Jerry Jeudy's the biggest bum ass. I cut him today. I cut Jerry Jeudy in the league today, and I have no regrets. Zero regrets. He's a nothing burger. He's a zero. Yeah,
he's pretty average at best.
Not even. Below average. So I'm starting Cortland Sutton against Houston. I think it's going to be a fun matchup.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine
60 with that. Point, maybe a 60-point total. Like they both score 28, 29 points, and it's a fun shootout. Cortland Sutton for me. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? C.J. Stroud's throwing for four tutties.
Well, C.J. Stroud's a superstar, so we already know that.
Yeah, we called that in the preseason, by the way, on the show.
No, you didn't.
Roll the tape.
Yeah, roll. Yeah, Dave. Roll
back.
The tape.
Trust me. I have plenty of chats I can go back to where me and you were skipping on Stroud at like 5 and 6 in our
fantasy. No, I wasn't. I had plenty of screenshots.
All, you were either trading that pick or trying to not. Them. Yeah, there you go. That's more accurate.
I have him in two leagues in Dynasty where I'm like, I'm at 6 and there's like Addison was taken, all these other guys were taken. I'm like, I gotta take them. And I did. Yes, and
you got lucked into him, so good for you.
I'm thankful for that. Very thankful.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
In one league, I have Dak. Listen, one league, I want to brag real quick. In one league, I have Dak, CJ Stroud, who are like on fire. I have Bijan Robinson, Kenneth Walker, and Breece Hall. And I have a bunch of young rookie guys, but I'm not good. I don't know how I'm not fucking good. It's not good.
We got Dave over here saying freaking instead of dropping F bombs, and Josh is over here just dropping F bombs on us. Family show.
I was 0.7 points away from beating the undefeated guy, and I started Kenneth Walker instead of Bijan Robinson.
I'm an idiot.
Didn't even set my lineup. How many lineups did I not set this week? Probably 4, because I even text Dave. I didn't set my lineup. I don't.
Do you guys get fantasy fatigue by the playoffs?
100%.
I do.
Like, yeah. I'm at the point like
the
first 10 weeks I was like, yeah, I got it. Okay, 5 minutes. Let's just look through my lineups. Now I'm just like, I don't even care. Like,
yeah,
move them around.
Half the leagues where I know like I'm like barely gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or like I'm like,
no,
whatever. I don't care about.
There's like 5 leagues I just don't care about anymore. Yeah, like exactly. It's whatever. But
my sleeper leagues, I'm like, there's like 2 that I actually care about. The rest I'm like, do I even need to check my lineup there? I don't care about it.
I'm competing. I'm in first or second in most of my leagues, but there are a couple where I'm just like, whatever.
I will say this. In my redraft leagues, I'm dominating. Most of my redraft leagues, I'm top 3. And I don't care because there's no way I can miss the playoffs. But the leagues where I'm scratching and crawling to get into the playoffs, I'm like in those leagues every day looking. That's Royal Flush, and that's my other NWO league with my home league. But like in our Madden league, Dave, I don't look at it but once a week because I just know I'm in the playoffs.
I'll even all my leagues, really. I'm just like checking, like when I set my lineup. I try to set my lineup early in the week so I don't forget like you did. And then I'll come back on Thursday if I can remember because I have it sometimes and try to just double check on the Thursday night guys. And then Sunday morning, usually by like 12:30, if I remember because I've done this before too, I'll try to go back through one more time and like just, okay, is there anybody out? Is there anybody in? Okay, cool. Change them out real quick and that's it. But I know. I'm tired of it. I hate it. You know what I hate the most is waivers. I don't even do waivers in any of my leagues. If there's a guy on waivers, I'm like, I'm just missing out. I hate it. I'm in too many leagues to care about. Unless it's a league where I know I need a player. Like when I'm setting my lineup, like a Monday or Tuesday, I'm like, okay, for this week, okay, I need a backup quarterback this week because my guy's out. Like, I'll do that. Or if there's like a big guy who I know is like a free agent in every league, somebody got hurt. That's the only time I do it. Any other time, my team is the same all season long. That's it.
Yeah. Now fatigue. It is fatigue, but it's still cool because when you get into the playoffs, that's when I'll start heating back up. Because as I said, when
you
I'm
can
10
focus
and 2,
on specific teams too.
Right. So yeah. Like when I'm 10-2 in these leagues, like what am I going to do? What am I looking at this league for again? The trade deadline's passed.
Yeah.
I'm already clinched.
And that's even like, I have a couple leagues where I'm hurt. Like 10 and 13 were killer for me because I have all the good players who are all on bias those weeks. And I'm just like, dang, even with all my guys out and me starting bums off of my bench, I'm still projected to win. So because everybody else is also hurting. So,
yeah, but yeah, that's the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it, man. We will be here Friday. Dynasty Friday. We're going to do the same topic we canceled last time because I was deathly sick. You remember that topic?
Guys, vets that you would trade for right now?
Yes, because if we're trading, I'm actually in negotiations to trade in leagues. I just trade Saquon for a first. So if you can do that, do that. Dave thinks it's a steal. Dave's shaking his head because he's mad. Yes.
I'm not mad at you. That's a great trade for you. Good for you.
That's what we do on Friday.
You know what? It helps Pete. So it's kind of a win-win, but I would rather have the first. That's all.
Guys, you guys heard the plugs up front. Please follow our show. Make drop a like, subscribe. We're going to get on out of here. We'll see you Friday. Peace out, guys. Enjoy your night.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe wherever you watch or listen to podcasts. Follow on X and Instagram at OUSFFPOD. We'll be back next week for more ways to win your league.